May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Reading this morning is from Psalms 145, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, whose compassion is over all of creation. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout the generations. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel reading today is from Matthew in chapter 11, beginning in verse 16. I invite you to listen for the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. But to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thought it would be good to get us into a good nap mindset this morning. I'd like to ask you to recall a time when you had good rest. So it could be a nap, could be just a like lay back rest, could be a good night's sleep. Recall a time when you had good rest. I hope you don't have to dig too far back into the past, but recall a time when you had good rest, and then turn to a neighbor. It's great if you find someone you don't know well, but it's fine if you're talking to someone you came with. Just share them. It works best if you do it in two people. I'll give you like a minute and a half. At 45 seconds, I'll say switch. That means if you've been talking, you should start listening, okay? So find someone to talk to share about good rest. Go. Thank you for taking time to share and to listen and to recall rest.
I grew up in, I'm a preacher's kid, so Sunday afternoons have all my life been reserved for sacred after church naps. And in my childhood, it was always accompanied by a golf tournament on the TV. So you'd turn on Sunday golf and sit back on the couch or in the recliner, and that's the sort of sweetest, gentlest rest. In my world. I hope you had good stories and reminders of rest. I think it's so important that we remember that our God is a God who offers us rest, to take a deep breath, to come back in tune with our bodies, and to refresh our souls. The gift of life, life that Christ promises us in abundance, is one that requires a healthy rhythm of rest and activity, all of which invites us to live lives of faithfulness. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words today and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Been thinking about good rest as I read these verses from the end of our gospel text today, where Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary." I don't know if I've been more tired than usual or just as tired as is befitting this stage in life lately, but I've felt tiredness so much so. I have a friend visiting, and it's tempting to stay up late into the night talking, and she sent me to bed last night when we got home at, I don't know, it was before 9 o'clock. Rest is so critical for our well-being, and something in our culture keeps pushing us to more activity. Too often we link activity and busyness with virtue. It's easy to sort of brag, complain about being so busy, about doing all of the things. It's very socially acceptable to be over-programmed, over-calendared. It, in some ways, asserts our worth, the fullness of our days. But the gospel invites us to remember that we bear the divine image from the beginning, that we don't have to do anything to earn the right to have God delight in us, to merit the gift of abundant life. In the email that I sent out to the congregation on Wednesday this week, I talked a little bit about Sabbath keeping, a practice that I've come to understand more deeply through the poetry of Wendell Berry. We read some of his poetry during Lent a few years ago. As a farmer, this insight is key and is comprehensible for me in a different way. As a farmer, he talks about the importance of work, but also the importance of the thing that your work cannot produce in farming, right? You can till and plant and water and weed, but growth doesn't happen through the activity of your hands. You have to stop messing with the seed in the ground to let the germination happen, to let the roots sink into the soil, to let the plant spring up. There's something then that is critical about our taking pauses in that it becomes a reflection of our humility before God. The things that are most beautiful in this world, most valuable in this world, are things that we can't manufacture, that no amount of my labor and busyness can ever produce. It comes by gift of God. And so stopping feels like a vulnerable acknowledgement that I can't do it all, but a necessary and faithful and holy posture that honors that it was never mine to do anyway, that this is always something transcendent that we've been participating in, that our restraint is a way of honoring God's power and majesty and wonder and bounty. So what if resting is not just so that we can be more productive, but because we are a delight? I was reading again recently about the work of Tricia Hersey, who has started a nap ministry. Her book, which came out last October, caught the attention of others. I read a New York Times interview of her work. She wants to link the practice of napping, of resting, of honoring our bodies and lives with the work of social justice. And as a Black woman, theologian, and scholar, she acknowledges how deeply our U.S. American economic systems, our capitalism, have been bound up and built on the productivity of bodies, particularly sinfully, the productivity of enslaved Black bodies. She invites us to consider rest as an antidote, a push back against a culture that too quickly reduces our bodies and lives to tools of production, and instead honor our bodies and lives as an embodiment and declaration of divine goodness. So slowing, napping, resting become postures we have to actively take up to push back against things that insist we're only as good as what we make or achieve or produce or earn, insisting instead that we are created out of goodness and that we are worth rest, delight, and wonder. I'm moved by her words and find them convicting. She says, "This is about more than naps. It's not about fluffy pillows, expensive sheets, silk sleep masks, or other externalist, frivolous, consumerist gimmicks. It's about a deep unraveling from white supremacy and capitalism. Those two systems are violent and evil. History tells us this, and our present living shows us this. Rest pushes back and disrupts a system that views human bodies as tools for production and labor. Naps are a counter-narrative. We know that we're not machines. We are divine." I was reading also the translation of these verses from Matthew's gospel, where he says, "Come to me, you who are weary." I was reading them in the translation that Eugene Peterson made just a few decades ago, where he renders the gospel into a more contemporary and conversational English. These verses in particular I found eloquent. This is how he translates verses 28 to 30. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Sometimes when we tell people to rest, we act as though it's easy to quiet our minds and calm our bodies. The kids know sometimes that you're too excited to take a good nap. Sometimes we're too amped up, or we're too anxious or insecure, or we've bought too much into fears that other people want to lay on us about what we should be doing or what's moral or virtuous. It makes it hard to truly rest and take a deep breath. And whether it's napping or some other form of restorative rest, the invitation is one that takes practice. I love that Jesus says, "Come to me and learn from me. Walk with me, and I'll show you how to live in these unforced rhythms of grace. Come to me, and I'll teach you a different way." I have vivid memories when I studied abroad in West Africa, in the country of Niger, of how hot it was and how hard it was sometimes to walk from the apartments where we were living to the market. And so my natural tendency was to do it as quickly as possible, from the apartments where we were living to the market. But it did not fit in Nigerian culture. If you start rushing on a hot day, everyone you meet will stop you and ask, "Where are you going and why are you in a hurry?" The Nigerian way, as I have come to discover, is also the way of hot deserts in the U.S., is to move slowly and persistently. If you work up too much of a sweat or elevate your heart rate too far, it can be disastrous. The only way of making it the whole journey is to move slowly and thoughtfully. I can't explain how hard it was for me to learn to walk slowly in the heat. It fought against every fiber of what I've been taught, like push through and get it done, move quickly through the hard stuff, get it over with fast. But something about those walks in the heat helped me retrain myself to a different way of being, the possibility that it's okay to slow down, that sometimes it's required even if we want to get where we're going. My friend Pat Luna is visiting today. She's a colleague who I've had the pleasure of working with on the General Board of Church and Society of the United Methodist Church, and she's been a key organizer in Resist Harm that works to resist harm from the anti-LGBTQ+ policies of the United Methodist Church and other good schemes. She lives in the panhandle of Florida, which is sometimes a less hospitable place for this work, but one where it is no less important. I got to know Pat more deeply because she's a leader in the Academy for Spiritual Formation, which is offered a series of retreats that I've participated in over several years. The first time I went, I was disturbed by the rhythm of the Academy because you get up and have breakfast and listen to a lecture and then you sit in silence for an hour. This was not like any educational system I'd ever participated in before, where you learn a thing and then sit in silence for an hour. I, at first, was a little itchy and restless. I wanted to talk with people about what it was about or do a thing. But there's something about the gift of that pause that was deeply transformative in my experience. Too often, especially in a world of quick comebacks and witty sound bites, we're tempted to respond right away. But to pause and wait just a moment, to spend time in self-reflection and waiting, is a gift. A rest, a break, a slowdown, a pause. For me, those rhythms of waiting and pause were a way of honoring that I needed to listen for the Holy Spirit to speak a new thing that wasn't my first reaction, an insight only possible when I left a little space for God to let me get over myself and be ready to hear a new thing, or for time to do its wondrous work in opening up new possibility, connecting new ideas, giving assurance. That the work of God doesn't depend on our having the comeback in 1 second. Sometimes the more faithful work takes a step back, a longer labor. And then, after we had to be quiet for an hour, we'd get back together in a big group and spend time meeting sort of like non-programmed Quakers do. We'd sit in a big room and just be silent until anyone had something they thought would be helpful to the whole community. And in that way, we got to hear back from the wisdom of what had happened in other people in the community. This was also a new posture on me, to think that space held open could merit the insight I need to have, and it might come from someone else. Surprisingly, delightfully, sometimes from the someone else I would have never thought to ask. But this is the gift of community and the Holy Spirit. And the invitation of rest that comes in our gospel comes in relationship, from Jesus, who is in relationship from the beginning, Son of the Father, in familial relationship within the divine, Jesus invites us into relationship with each other as we seek to find a way forward that is both rest and activity, that is life and goodness and flourishing, that honors the well-being of we who are, that tends to our bodies and spirits and lives. And in summer, as much as any time, we might as well try, right? Try lying back under the sun or the shade if it's too hot, by the pool or on the beach. We might as well try being still for a few minutes longer, resting to notice and check in with ourselves, to see how we're feeling in our bodies, to listen for the voice of God as it comes from outside ourselves, to open ourselves beyond the narrow ways we've decided we ought to focus, to see a broader picture. Now, Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Then he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," which are sort of paradoxical, oxymoronic sorts of things to say, right? A light burden and a light yoke, right? This yoke is meant for work, and a burden is meant to carry. It's the obligation, the work, the labor that you take up. But he says, my labor is light, is easy. This is an invitation to think differently about the work that's before us. Rest becomes not an opposite to labor, but a part of how we work. Not a setting aside of our physical bodies and our concerns for ourselves so that we can muscle through the thing that's before us, but a different way of being in labor together. I love that he says, uses the metaphor of a yoke to describe that work, because the yoke reminds us that our work is not ours alone, that we get connected to another, connected to God for a labor that's before us. In our living, our rhythms of rest and delight and labor and achievement and agitation and work for justice, these are combined together in a community that is moving forward toward a way of being that is not only burden, but whose burden becomes a joy to carry as we share it together. I know you've had the experience at some time in your life and working hard at something that really satisfied your soul deep down in. Maybe it was to assist someone who you knew really needed the help, or to work on a project that you believed really made a difference or mattered. Maybe it was to tend for a child or an elderly relative or neighbor. And it felt good to be able to put your body into the work, to put your mind to solving the problem, to invest yourself in a better world. This is the kind of thing that Jesus is inviting us to. That's a soul-tending kind of work, a way of being in the world that requires our labor, but also honors our rest. I think it's the invitation of the gospel today to remember that we're not only called to the work of justice, but alongside it, the work of joy. That we're called to honor and tend the beauty and worth, the divine image in our own bodies as we work for a world where there is safety and liberty for other bodies as well. These are held together. So much of our music this morning is music that feeds my soul. I hope it does for you as well. In just a few moments, we're going to hear the familiar gospel tune, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." It's a hymn that reminds us by its opening line that God knows that we get weary and tired and worn, but that God's intention is to be with us and to take us as if by the hand and bring us to another place. God understands that the struggles we face cannot be immediately alleviated, but insists that we're not moving through them alone, that the companionship of our God is even now, at this point in the journey with so much further to go, the presence of God is now rest and life and delight. It is easy, and it invites us to know that God wants for us to be fully alive, full of joy, flourishing for the sake of divine delight. May it be so. Amen.